Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. My guest today is my friend Jeremy Schaefer of the metalcore band Earth Groans. Their new EP just dropped, and we had to talk about it.
Hey, Jeremy. How you doing?
Dude, I'm great. How are you?
I've been doing okay.
It's great to see you and talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know. It's been a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
What have you been up to?
Got back from tour, kind of getting back into the swing of things with the studio, and the album's been out now for a couple weeks, so now that I'm home from tour, I'm doing all of the press and stuff. Our label, they really got a lot of interviews lined up this time around, so it's been keeping me busy the last few days.
So tell them the name of the album.
Yeah, the record is called Tongue Tied.
It's an EP.
Yes, another EP. It's our sixth EP total.
Now, you've been using the EP model from the beginning, right?
Yeah, that was kind of like what I wanted to do from the beginning was, just do an EP, like basically an EP a year. Of course, not everything has landed perfectly on a year because labels have other bands to release and it's hard to not get trampled over. So they like to space things out and whatnot. But so six EPs and that was the contract that we worked out with Solid State.
So have you been with Solid State since the beginning?
We got signed on our first EP. It was out for a year, year and a half maybe. And then we signed and then we did a re-release of that first EP since we were a pretty small band yet and we didn't want that to go to waste. And so we did a re-release of the first EP and then we did five EPs after that.
So I assume then it's been pretty effective for you.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty cool. I kind of saw the industry going that way years ago when everything was switching over to streaming. And not to mention, I just really like to, write, five really good songs. Usually when I write for a record, I'll write like 7 or 8 or even 10 songs on this last one I wrote. But then I'll narrow it down to the kind of the 5 best. So that way we're picking like 5 really good quality songs and not putting a bunch of filler songs in. Attention spans are shorter, It seems like the industry these days, if you want to be successful or whatever, you have to constantly be in front of people, constantly reminding people that you're a band. People forget about you pretty fast, it seems like.
Why serve up meatloaf when you can serve up filet mignon?
Yeah. All right. Good. That's what I like to hear.
All right. Your lyrics are explicitly Christian because you are unapologetically a believer. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a believer my whole life. As far as I remember, anyways, in every band I've been in, has been that way, where, the mission of the band is to, to be a ministry, whether the other members in the band are Christian or not. My sole purpose, I guess, is, ministry and being the one that writes the lyrics. And in Earth Groans, I guess, I write pretty much everything. But being the one that writes the lyrics, that's my calling. So that's my thing. And so I want to, give praise where praise is due. And at the end of the day, I want to point people to God. Not every single one of our songs is necessarily like strictly, like Christian lyrics. But at the end of the day, like, it has some kind of message of hope or inspiration. Well, even if someone isn't a believer or doesn't have the same faith, they can still listen to our music and still take something positive away from it. That's also a purpose that I want to fulfill.
Yeah. Christian music, but it's brutal metalcore, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, worship comes in all those sorts of forms. It doesn't necessarily have to be like church music, or it doesn't even have to be music in general at all. It can be anything. So this is where God has gifted me. So that's what I want to use to worship with.
What are some of your music influences?
I got into metal pretty young. I started going to Lifelight Fest. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a free festival in South Dakota. And I don't think it really exists anymore. They still do the Lifelight tours. But what it was is just a free music festival, and it was Christian based. They had an HM stage or a heavy music stage. So I started going to that every year. I mean, I was like probably 9 or 10 when I started going to these with my family. And me and my brother would go to the hard music stage. Same with there's another festival called Sunshine Fest. So I'd go to these festivals and just hang out at the heavy music stage. And at the beginning, I didn't really like the screaming. I mean, I was like 10 years old, so I was kind of scared of it. But, you know, it quickly grew on me. And, you know, that's where I found most of the bands that, you know, I listened to growing up was at these festivals. Most of these bands were either a Facedown band or a Solid State band, and they would hand out these free samplers and I would take them home. And that's what I started listening to. My parents were really strict about the music that we listened to or the content that we, you know, would take in. So I was allowed to listen to that because it had Christian lyrics. They didn't believe it, but I showed them the lyrics. You know, it's like, yeah, it's screaming, but ma, there's good lyrics here. So anyway, so I was allowed to listen to that. You know, I couldn't listen to some of the stuff that was like on the radio and whatnot. So I was allowed to buy like one CD a month as long as it was Christian lyrics. So that's what I would use to buy my music. And so I started listening to heavy music pretty young. Got a drum set when I was 11 and started playing. And then I, you know, started a horrible band with my brother. And we were... my brother and a couple of friends, and we were terrible, you know, but we were like, you know, we were young. Yeah, we just started playing like locally and wherever people would let us. And first I was just the drummer of the band, and we were playing like Green Day covers and Metallica covers and whatever. Well, we couldn't find a singer. So I was like, well, I can sing. I couldn't sing. I couldn't sing at all. I could scream, but I couldn't sing, but I thought I could sing. So we, gave me a mic, and I was the singer and the drummer of this band. And did I say that we were terrible yet? Because we were terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a start. And, you know,
gotta start somewhere.
That. And later on in high school, then I started just doing vocals only. And I started playing guitar and bass, you know, through some of these years to help write music for the band that I was in and stuff. And I just found that I really just enjoyed playing music no matter what instrument it was, whether it's drums, guitar, bass, or piano. I played a little of everything, but vocals is what I found myself to be the most gifted at. So that's where I, you know, put most of my effort and
landed there.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were talking about you being a kid and telling your mom, but look, it's got Christian lyrics. I can see some kids right now are doing the same things with their Earth Groans albums.
Oh, probably actually. Like, but it sounds so mad. Yeah, but look at the lyrics, Mom.
I'm full circle, bud.
Yep.
What's an album or a band that maybe changed your life?
Well, there's a couple of them, but let me see. I think probably one of them that got me the most was that Under Oath, They're Only Chasing Safety record. Because I was starting to listen to heavy music, but I didn't love all of the screaming. I liked a little bit here and there. You know, but then once I heard Under Oath, that record, They're Only Chasing Safety, I was like, oh, it's got screaming and singing. And so that was a quick game changer for me. And that was like one of my conversion records that got me into more heavy music. I remember downloading I don't even remember what I used, Windows Media Player or something. And the quality was just so bad. And I'd burn these CDs and I'd put them on my Discman and I would take them to school and listen to them on the bus and stuff. And I would try to show my friends and they just like did not like it. They hated it. But, you know, I was like, you know, that was my mission from early on. I'm like, this music's awesome. I'm going to get other people to listen to it, but not too many followers. That. Yeah.
The music mixtape game is strong.
Yeah, it really was back then.
Dude, you know what we had to do back in my day? We had to be poised with two fingers with our cassette players. Uh-huh. And when the song would come on the radio, if the DJ would just shut up, you hit that record play button and record it. And then sometimes you get speaking at the end, but then, you know, then you had your music.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I remember making some mixtapes when I was young. I got in really big trouble for that once because I was into boy bands when I was in kindergarten. Like, I liked Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, you know? And, I mean, who didn't, you know? Still do. But I recorded, I didn't know it, but my older brother, he's about 10 years older than me, but he had an Offspring tape in the cassette. And I thought my tape was in there, my blank tape. And I recorded Backstreet Boys over his Offspring tape.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, that was a beating of a lifetime right there.
Oh, my goodness. Of all the EPs that you've done, which is your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
You know, I think Waste is probably my favorite. I mean, obviously, Tongue Tied, being that it's just out now, or it's the freshest one.
Uh-huh.
That one's obviously like on top of the list because your newest music is always your best music, right?
Right, because that's where you are right now. Yeah.
Yeah. But Waste is, I think, continually has been one that I've always really, really enjoyed. And I just think that the production on that one and the songwriting, everything about that record turned out really great.
I really enjoyed Prettiest of Things. It had more of a melodic sound.
Yeah, that was the whole point, was we wanted that one to have a little more melody, and we wanted to make a softer record, as soft as that one can be, I guess. It's still pretty heavy. But, yeah.
Maybe that's why it spoke to me, because I like the mixture of clean and the brutal vocals.
Yeah, and most people do, honestly. That one's still very highly played on streaming sites and stuff. I think just the dynamic between those two records is really cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool work of art that, you know, we did and very proud of. So Waste is a good one. And then, of course, the one that just came out, Tongue Tied, is really good. But, you know, I like The Body also. You know, it seems like every record has like two or three songs that I just really like. And I feel like the Waste is all really strong. I'm a fan of all of that. And then the rest of our records probably have like, you know, two, three songs that I really like. So if I had to pick, I would say Waste.
Check us out on Facebook at I'm with Mothership.
Now that you brought it up, let's talk a little bit more about the new album, Tongue Tied.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about lyrical content or music?
First of all, let's talk about how artistic and creative you are with your lyrics. They're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Sometimes lyrics are just telling a story, but sometimes lyrics are like yours are like poetry.
Yeah. I've always liked to write in metaphor. The same way, I mean, even like with album titles and stuff like that, I always try to have a theme throughout a record. You know, it doesn't always apply to like every song, you know, like the common theme, but I do like to have some kind of theme, and it's usually metaphor based. Lyrics and poetry, it's a way of taking a lot of the hard things that we deal with in life and we put them in like more of like a digestible light, I guess. You know, yeah, I don't know. That's just
easier to consume.
Yeah. And as you like work through like some of these things that we deal with, even some of the hard stuff, it's still kind of beautiful in a way, because there is good things that come out of the other side, you know, whether it be just becoming stronger, just overcoming whatever. But yes, I've always really liked to write in poetry, and yeah, that's my art, I guess. But with Tongue Tied, yeah. So I was I don't know if you read the write up, sort of, there was our bio has it in it. But anyways, I was born tongue tied. Most people are not familiar with the medical term that it comes from. And tongue tied is just the skin underneath your tongue comes all the way up to basically your teeth. And so you're not really able to move your tongue correctly. If not corrected, you would have, kind of a speech impediment and you wouldn't be able to speak correctly. But it's a common saying, a common metaphor, like, you know, saying cat got your tongue or you're tongue tied, you know, basically not being able to say or speak what's on your mind. So, yeah, I was born tongue tied. They did perform the procedure right away at birth. And I guess it's kind of barbaric. They really just take a scissors and just hack away at it. my mom said it was quite a racket when, you know, me started screaming. She was really concerned, but my dad.
So that's when the screaming started right there.
Yeah, that's what my dad said. He's like, that's when the screaming started right there. right at birth, came out of the womb screaming.
Your fate was sealed at that moment.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, so that was kind of like a metaphor for me in my life where, I was the black sheep of my family, and not only my family, but I mean, I'm from like kind of conservative small town, South Dakota. So a dude that wants to play metal music, and I mean, I didn't have tattoos that back then, but I wore black and, you know, I dyed my hair and stuff like that. So obviously, like, I was misunderstood, and it wasn't always easy for me to communicate or share what was on my heart, you know, because people just assumed that I was this weird goth kid. But anyway, so that was kind of a metaphor for me in my life, until music is when, you know, I was able to kind of find a voice to really speak what was on my heart. So that's kind of where Tongue Tied gets its meaning.
I was looking at the lyrics, pulled from the womb, I came into the world without a voice. But at the end it says, I found my timbre, my song. Wow. That's a story.
Yeah. A lot of it's just like me dealing, growing up, having a hard time fitting in, having a hard time communicating, having a hard time making friends, all that's whatever. And then it's like, I was speaking the language of the world when I should have been speaking the language that was on my heart. And that was through music. You know, that's my timbre, my song.
That's amazing.
Besides the streaming platforms, how's Tongue Tied available to the fans?
with Tongue Tied, something to be looking forward to is they're being pressed to vinyl. And a lot of people have been like asking for physicals, and we don't do CDs anymore because they're not profitable for us because we have to buy them from our label and we don't sell enough. But people are always looking for more vinyl and asking us about vinyl. But so Tongue Tied will be pressed to vinyl. They are being made right now. We're just kind of waiting for them to get back. It's kind of a long process and we never really know how long it's going to take, especially post pandemic. Sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's 1 month. So, but hopefully should be hearing back on those soon.
Well, that's what I've been hearing from everybody. I was talking with Tommy Green for Holy Name the other day, and they had to like push their whole album release because of not being able to get the vinyls.
We were like, we're not even going to wait around for vinyl to be pressed because, you know, there's no way of knowing when it's going to be done. So we were just like, well, let's get the record out and then we can, you know, figure out vinyl later. So, and I feel like that's what a lot of bands are doing now is they'll put out a record and then they'll come back with vinyl a couple months later.
You're an amazing person, for one
thing.
Thank you. Our story started with we met each other at the Masquerade in Atlanta.
Of course.
And of course. And you were with War of Ages and Convictions. And you and Convictions are kind of joined at the hip a lot of time. Y'all do a lot of tours together because y'all don't fit.
Really do.
Someone asked me, a fan asked me to take Convictions something. And I had never seen Convictions at that time. So I didn't know for sure if I was going to be able to get in with anything. Masquerade's a little funny if they don't know ahead of time you're bringing stuff. So I just brought little gift bags for you guys. I just remember giving those to Zach
from Convictions.
He went inside and gave them to everybody. And I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes later, you come shooting out the door. I think Brady might have been with you. Who brought us this?
Yeah.
And I've been in love with you ever since. You were just so appreciative. And I got to know you that night. So it was nice. We became friends.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I was just really grateful. I mean, early days of touring, it's rough out there. So
it is.
And we don't make a lot of money. And, you know, the fact that we had somebody just think about us that way and like, you know, want to provide and be our mom on the road, you know, like that's super sweet. So.
Some of the scariest looking people on stage are the sweetest people off stage. It's your alter ego, right?
Yeah.
How do you change that game face from sweet Jeremy at the merch table to looks like he's going to tear you up with his mustache?
That's just always been like stage game. Like that's just like what happens. It's a lot of fun. I mean, and people think I'm mad, but it's like, no, I'm actually just having a good time. Yeah.
And speaking of the mustache,
we cannot do an interview without talking about your award-winning mustache.
Ah, yes, of course.
How many awards have you won with your mustache?
2 awards. First place in both of them. I haven't competed in a while. I mean, post-COVID, there hasn't really been a whole lot. The last one that I was supposed to compete in, and we were on tour, so I missed that one. But yeah, so there's a Facial Hair League, and it's this traveling thing that goes around. They do facial hair competitions in different cities, but it sounds really douchey, but I promise it's not. So they have, like, you know, all these different categories. They have these competitions. All the money goes to cancer benefits, or they pick a proceed, and then all the money raised goes to that benefit. So it's not like we win money or anything. It's just for fun. The last one that I competed in, it was like all the money was given to like a food shelter or something like that. Anyway, so yeah, I am reigning champ of South Dakota in the mustache category.
Well, it is an epic mustache. I have a theory that you can't shave it off or you won't be able to scream anymore.
No, it's a very distant kind of deal.
It is.
Yeah, that's where I get my strength from.
Don't touch the mustache.
Yeah. It started off as something kind of fun, but now it's turned into this branding thing, you know, and my shtick or whatever you want to call it. It's how people remember Earthgrown. So whatever works,
amazing.
I guess.
And also, since we talked about bringing gift bags with snacks, I need to ask, what are some of your favorite road snacks?
So I try to eat healthy. I eat a lot of fruit, and then jerky is a good source of protein, but it gives me bad BO, so I don't like to eat a lot of jerky. You know when you're at a metal show and you can just smell the jerky? So I try not to eat too much jerky just because of that. But I eat a lot of almonds and one rule I have on tour is I have to eat something fresh every day because like we end up eating a lot of like fast food and stuff like that,
right?
Because it's about the only thing that really works when you're like in a hustle and a bustle and got to be at the venue at loading time and everything, and you're stopping at truck stops and whatever. So it usually ends up, you know, you don't get the best diet, but, you know, I try to bring as many like apples and bananas and stuff like that. So my rule is I do have to eat at least one thing fresh every day, just to kind of help keep my guts in order and keep myself healthy. But of course, that banana pudding. It is so good.
Sugar free though.
Yeah, that's true. Well, whatever it is, it's freaking really good.
Okay. Like, I bring strawberries and you can stick it on top.
Yep. Right. Yeah, for sure.
That'll work.
Backstage with Mothership returns after this. Out Performance Shop is a proud supporter of Solid Rock Radio. They specialize in retail and wholesale of automotive, high performance, racing, and off-road products. They also carry a variety of accessories from remote control cars to rock and roller multi-carts. On the web at outperformance.com.
You've been playing some shows, you said. What have you been doing?
So we just got back from tour. We were out with, again, Convictions, and then we had some dates with Wolves at the Gate. Normally, when we do a tour, we have, like, you know, one band that we go out with or two bands that we go out with, and we're with them the whole time. But with this tour, it was like we started, did a couple dates by ourselves, then met up with Convictions, did a couple dates, then met up with the tour package with Wolves at the Gate, did a couple dates, then it was back to Convictions, and then back to us alone, and then we had, like, 4 days to finish out. But we got the Wolves at the Gate offer, but it was out in the New England area. So, you know, we're from South Dakota. Can't just drive straight to the New England area. It's like 24 hours or something.
Oh, wow.
So we booked some dates out and some dates back. Yeah. And
it sounds like it was a pretty good run.
It was. It was a really great run. The dates with Wolves at the Gate were really great. They're some amazing dudes and they're an amazing band, you know.
Yeah.
Good turnouts and good response and everything. So, yeah, all the way around, it was a great time. They're awesome.
Are you noticing anything different about the post-pandemic crowds?
I feel like people really are buying more merch. They're supporting more because they know that we had like 2 years basically where we weren't making income and stuff. Especially that first tour back, I really noticed like we were just selling insane amounts of merch. I don't know if people just missed it that much or if it was really just people were trying to support and help. And there was that a couple months where the gas prices were so high, you know, people were also were tipping, you know, they were paying $25 for a shirt and then throwing $10 on top of it just to help with gas and stuff. So I've noticed that people have been really generous and really supportive post-pandemic. So it's been really great.
And y'all have some really cool merch. Who designs most of your merch?
We have a lot of different designers that I've kind of like collected over the years just from, you know, getting merch done. But there's one guy, his name is Jim Hughes. He's from Sioux Falls. He's a friend of mine. We grew up together around the same area playing shows. His first band and my first band, we were playing shows together. We were both terrible, but, you know, we were playing shows and just trying to do the music thing. But he went on to playing Colossus. They were on Face Down, and then he played in For Today for a while, playing bass for them. But now he just does design stuff. So he's done a lot of our album artwork and stuff, and he's done a couple t-shirts. But yeah, besides that, I find, you know, through Instagram, or there was a site, it got shut down a few years ago called mintees.com, but designers would just upload designs that they made and you could buy it off of them. And through that website, I ended up finding a lot of really great, you know, designers, a lot of them not from the U.S., which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I'd probably get some unique artwork that way. Something
yeah, definitely.
You don't see every day.
Yep.
Have you got some other shows coming up, like the summer or fall?
Yeah, so we're working on finishing up booking some dates for May. We're doing a little thing with Heart Support since May is Mental Health Awareness Month. We got that we're trying to wrap up right now. So keep an eye out for those dates. They should be coming out sometime soon, but that will be more of a West Coast run. A couple festivals for the summer, and then really just kind of working on getting some support tour stuff lined up. And don't know what that will be yet or how that will be yet, but that's kind of the goal for the rest of the year, is just tour as much as we can.
You're using a touring band mostly?
Yeah. Earthgrooms has always been kind of my brainchild, I guess.
Right.
And I've always kind of written all the music and stuff, and that's never really changed. But yeah, now I've just like, it's basically me plus, you know, whoever I hire for the tour. So yeah, it's just hired guns for the most part. So not most ideal, but that's how it is.
Now you do producing as well, right?
I do, yes, correct. Yeah, so that's my real job, I guess. Been doing that now for, actually this month is 14 years. I started doing that when I was in high school, got pretty obsessed with it, went to college for it and everything like that. A couple years out of college, I went full time. So I bought an apartment complex and I converted a large section of it into my studio. And I've been full time now for 10 years. I do all of our records along with a lot of local bands around the Midwest. I did Deathbreaker, they're a face down band, did one of their records, and talking with a few more bands for some future stuff. But yeah, so it's been pretty cool. I'm very blessed because I'm either writing music, playing music, or recording music pretty much every day of my life. So
nice. Is there a pretty big music scene in South Dakota?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad for the size of the state. I mean, we have 850,000 people in the entire state. I believe cows outnumber humans like 3-1 or something like that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So that's crazy. Anyways, all that to say, there's not a very big scene here, but the scene that is here is like very dedicated and hungry for music. You know, we don't get a lot of the bigger tours because we're like a C or D market. So When a tour does come through this area, people get really stoked. People come out just because there's a show happening.
Now, how do people get in touch with you for the producing? Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's just my studio is called All Poetic Audio. I have a website, just allpoeticaudio.com. Or they can honestly just reach out to Instagram. They can reach out to our Earthgrounds page, whatever. I manage all those pages. So, yeah, they can just get in touch with me directly through any of those.
So what's the nerdiest thing you do?
The nerdiest thing I do? Oh, man. It's got to be gear related because, like, I nerd out about gear.
Okay.
When it comes to studio stuff, one thing that I will do before like doing an Earthgrounds record or even some of my other records. So there's guitar speakers, right? In each cabinet, there's 4 speakers. I will go through and record every single speaker and compare them to figure out which one I like the most.
There you go. That's
and
the nerdy one.
Yeah. I don't know if that's nerdy or not, but
that is pretty nerdy.
Yeah, and I will just like listen in. Same with the bass cabinet. There's 8 speakers in a bass cabinet, and I will record every single one of the speakers, and I will compare them and examine them, and I will just spend hours and hours and hours. And if somebody walked in the room, they're like, "Why are you listening to the same clip over and over again?" It's like, "Oh, it is the same clip, but it's through a different speaker." You know?
So it's like, different.
Yeah. So and they would be like, "I don't hear the difference." And I'll be like, "Oh yeah, this one's got a little more 3K. This one has a little less," you know, like stuff like that. So that would probably, I feel like that might be one of the nerdiest things that I do. Yeah.
Is there something that people would be surprised to know about you?
I would say that I listen to pop music way more than I listen to hard music.
Okay.
But that's also, there's a reason behind this. So I play in a heavy band. When we're on tour, we're playing with heavy bands every night. And I work, like most of the records that I do are heavy projects. And if I get in the car and I put on a heavy record, all I do is examine it, listen to it, and like study it. So it's really hard for my brain to take a rest. You know, it's hard for me just to enjoy music for music. So If I'm going to take the night off, I'm not going to listen to heavy music, because if I'm listening to heavy music, I can't decompress. I just sit and study what I'm listening to, whether it be the production or the writing, all of that stuff. So when I am taking time off, I listen to pop music, or when I'm driving on tour in between shows, I'm usually listening to like pop music or hip hop or something like that, because it's so like, you don't have to think about that kind of music. Like a lot of it is just so simple that it's just like, you know, it's very simple. But I also enjoy pop music, to be honest. I really, you know, I started, like I said earlier, I listened to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. So that's usually one that surprises people, is they see me and I'm like heavily tattooed, you know, and that's probably actually another nerd thing about me, is how much like I study tattoos a lot, tattoo culture. Oh. But yeah. But anyways, yeah. So they see me with my piercings and my tattoos, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this is a metal dude right here." And then like I'll bust out some Halsey or something like that, and they're like, "Wait, what?" Katy Perry.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I'll jam out just as hard to Katy Perry as I do to the Ghost Inside. So
there you go. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, in other words, what you're saying is heavy hardcore music is work.
Yeah.
And pop is just relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. It's so good to talk to you and see you again. It's been way too long.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just how it goes sometimes. But that is the area that we haven't hit in a long time. So we need to get back down there. All right.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time for me.
Yeah.
All right, man. Love you.
All right. Love you. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week and let's be kind to one another.